What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 484, and with me across the screen and across the world is
not quite the world, but yeah,
right. You're over there where there was tornadoes last week, and
Had to turn the heater on and then back to the air conditioner and back to the
You're in that weird place. I remember when I lived on the East Coast, you're in the weird place where it's like one day it feels like summer and then the next day the snow's back, or like vice versa. Not fun. Awesome. But this week's episode is brought to you by our friends over at ADATA, and we're going to play a quick video for you guys. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by ADATA's SD820 external SSD. It's featherlight and tough with military-grade shock resistance. It's going to have speeds of up to 2,000 megabytes a second, and you can get it in capacities up to 4 terabytes. It's also IP68 dust and waterproof. So if you want to learn more, go ahead and visit thinkcomputers.org/SD820. And we will be having a review of that very soon, so definitely stay tuned for that. What's your highest capacity portable SSD that you have?
Not very big. Probably like 256 or 512.
Really?
Megs. Yeah.
Oh, man, you got to get on that terabyte.
Or gigs, not megs, geez.
I was going to say megs.
Okay, I take that back. Like, if you're counting, like,
no, we're not
drive in an enclosure.
No, we're talking, like, it has to be an SSD.
It can't be
a hard drive.
No, like an NVMe drive in an enclosure. Then I've got, like, a terabyte.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Terabyte's pretty normal. Yeah. We got Joe in the house. Good to see you, Joe. Hopefully all is well over in, I believe Joe's in England. Somewhere over the pond. He's across the pond. So good to see you here, man. Hope you're doing good. And hopefully I see you at Computex. If you're going to Computex, hopefully I see you at Computex. We have a lot to talk about this week. The big news that everybody's been complaining about or talking about, of course, is DLSS 5. We have two reviews that we're going to be talking about this week. So I took a look at a case from MSI, and then Ryan took a look at a really interesting AIO. So we have that to talk about. What else we have to talk about this week? We have Intel refresh on the mobile side. We also have details of AMD's Ryzen 9000 refresh on the desktop side. Really interesting motherboard from ASRock that really shows us that we are in a RAM shortage. New keyboard from Corsair, and some pretty cool things from Google with their Chrome OS that I think Ryan might be interested in as well. So we have all of that to talk about. And of course, you can follow along as far as, you know, getting more information on everything that we talk about, because we do have our full show notes page here that has links to everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So it's all right here. So if you hear something or you want to reference it later, it's all going to be right here. So let's start with reviews. And I have the case. It's right here because I was shooting some video content on it. It's kind of hard to see back there, but it is back there. That is the MSI Magpano 120R PZ. And this is essentially a less expensive version of their Meg Maestro 700L PZ, which has a very similar design, but that case was around $500. This case is $200, so it's cheaper. The big thing with this case is going to be the massive, and I mean, it is huge, tempered glass panel, but it's not your normal panel. It's a one-piece curved panel that goes from the side all the way across the front, single piece. Have you seen a lot of cases with the single piece going across?
I mean, we're seeing more. That's for sure. Like, it's in the last probably 6 months, it seems like.
Do you prefer two panels, or do you prefer a curved panel?
I don't know yet. I don't know if I even prefer a glass front case yet. You know what I mean? Like the fish tank style. Like, I'm just so, like, still a front old panel school. That's solid or has fans in it, right? And I think that's probably just because I haven't updated, like, my personal case. So I don't know. I like the look of it, but I don't like some of the distortion you get with the curved glass. Like,
yeah, that's the biggest thing that I notice with this case is in that curve, you do get, especially when you turn the lights on, you do get a little bit of distortion, but this is a really heavy duty panel, which is awesome. And that's kind of the main selling points of this case. And you can, again, get a look at that panel right there. The panel also has a protective film on it. So it really does protect that curve. And it protects it if you accidentally drop this. Because again, it's a heavy panel. It's not like cheap. It's not cheap or anything like that. So it has a protective film on it, but that does make it a bit tinted. It's not like crazy tinted, but it is a bit tinted. And like you said, Ryan said, like on the front, you know, that panel goes from the side all the way to the front. So you have a clear look into your system. And then as far as cooling goes, this case ships with 7 included fans. They're all 120 millimeters. They're all ARGB. You have 3 in the side mounts, 3 in the bottom, and 1 in the rear. These are also all wired to a controller. So you don't have to do anything, which is really nice, especially if you're a first-time builder. Like Ryan knows the pain of connecting all little ARGB connections, especially if you have like more than 3 fans. It's really annoying. So that's all done for you. But I would say, and I'll get into it, I'll go to the next page so you can kind of see, that controller is in the bottom of the case on the back side, and it's like down in there. Like it's really hard to access. And just like the wiring, like it's for like straight from the factory, it's kind of messy. Like it's just like a mess of wires down in here. I get it because you have 7 cables coming, or you have 2 cables coming from each fan, and then you have 7 of those, right? But yeah, it's just kind of messy. And then again, if you want to add or change anything, that controller is really hard to access because it sits below the hard drive cage. So it sits down in here. It's just hard to access. So I wasn't the biggest fan of that. But as far as value goes, getting 7 included fans out of the box with a controller, pretty awesome. And then internally, if you want to add more fans, the top of the case just like easily pops off here, and you can see this kind of curve too. So the top of the case goes with that curve of the panel, which is really nice. This just pops right off, and you have a removable filter, and then you have this cooling bracket here. This cooling bracket supports again 3 120 or 140 millimeter fans, as well as radiators up to 360 millimeters. So if you wanted to do like an AIO in here, pretty easy installation right there as well. Also what they've done, and I've been a big fan of this because at least for me, like my computer sits beside me here. And then, you know, I have to go over to the front to access like the front connections, or if they're on the top, they're harder to access. They put all your connections right here on the side. And you do get USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 with a Type-C on there, which I love to see. And this LED button is wired to the controller. So you don't need any software to control the fans as far as lighting goes, which is nice. So you have that there as well. So I definitely like that. Opposite side panel is a steel panel, but it does have ventilation for your side mounts. Also ventilation over here where your storage and your power supply goes. So it's definitely nice to see that as well. Back of the case gives us a pretty good idea of like our layout here, motherboard, that rear cooling fan, power supply on this side. Also, your expansion slot bracket can be turned. You can see there's thumb screws right here. You can flip it and do vertical GPU. You, of course, just have to provide your own riser with it. But you do have that functionality. And then, of course, you do have a pullout filter from the bottom of the case. Now, looking inside, as far as support goes, you have support for EATX. Before we get into that, getting the side panel off is not like your normal side panel because it is curved and it's kind of massive.
I saw those tabs there, yeah.
Yeah, so you have to remove the top panel, which just pulls off, and then there's 3 screws. There's one here, one here, one here. And then you have these kind of tabs that are like these cloth tabs. Once you have the screws off, you just pull the panel up and the entire thing comes off. Makes it really easy to remove, and I like safety. Like removing 3 screws for a side panel these days is, you would think that's a lot, but I prefer the safety over anything else, especially when it comes to a curved panel. So I'm okay with that. But yeah, there's the panel removed, and then we take a look inside. You have support for extended ATX, ATX, micro ATX, and mini ITX motherboards, as well as back connect motherboards on here. So you're pretty much supported all the way around. And then there is a GPU support bracket. You can see it right here. but it's one of those ones that like blocks the front of your graphics card. And if you ever look at your graphics card, like if you look at it, you always see like at least two or three holes in the front part of your graphics card. That's what this mount is for. But it like, I like the look of the front of my graphics card. And like, there's a lot of graphics cards now that the front or the front of the graphics card has like a design on it because you want to see it through that front panel. Yeah. So this blocks that. And I would have been like, not that big of a deal. You don't have to use it. But then when you want to remove it, it's six screws to remove this. Yeah. So it's kind of cumbersome to remove that. So I wasn't the biggest fan of that. We can take a look again. We have cooling in the side mount. Both the side mounts and the bottom mount will support three 120 millimeter fans and 360 millimeter radiator. So you can go ahead and change those out if you want to. The side mount cooling fully is removable. You can see the two thumb screws right there. You can take the entire thing out for easier installation. And then that back panel also has two removable filters. So easy cleaning for that as well. And then when you open the case, there's actually this bracket right here that essentially blocks off this section of the case for better airflow. So it's going to section off that part of the case, covers everything up, but you can it's two screws, you pull it out, and then that gives you access to everything else. So your power supply is going to go here, and then your hard drives are going to go in this hard drive cage. Now, the thing I didn't like about the hard drive cage is that one, four screws to remove it, which is a lot, in my opinion, considering like we've seen hard drive cages that are this big that are one thumb screw. You know what I mean? And then on top of that, it only has support for 2 3.5-inch drives in a single 2.5-inch drive. Considering the size of the case, I would have liked to have seen like at least four hard drives supported and like only one 2.5-inch SSD. Not a fan of that.
Yeah, not a lot.
So that is your storage. And then of course at the bottom, like I said, is that controller. And then you have pre-installed Velcro ties right here to keep all your cabling nice and organized there as well. So pretty good layout overall. I'm not the biggest fan of how, I just feel like this case is a little over-engineered with all the screws and all the things you have to remove and things like that. Yep. Obviously, if you're just doing like a single install, it's
you're done.
You're done. But if you're moving parts in and out, it can be a bit annoying. Installation was pretty easy. One thing that I did want to mention is when you're installing your graphics card or expansion cards, you need a screwdriver that has a long end, you know, like a long stem on the end. And I actually tried to use the Linus Tech Tips screwdriver, which does have the long end, but it's still too thick to go through all the way and reach the screw over here. So,
because there's those little bracket. Yeah, I see.
Yeah. So I actually had to use a different one than I had, but not everybody has a screwdriver that even has that long end on it.
Right.
So again, something to keep in mind, you know, right there. But with our installation done, I mean, super, super clean build. Beyond, again, the over-engineering, installation wasn't all that bad on this. Pretty easy to get everything installed. And you do have a really, really clean build. And then we can take a look at what it looks like all lit up. It does look quite good. You can cycle through different colors. There are built-in different effects with this as well. And it's all done with the LED button. And if you want software control for the fans or the ARGB, you can pass that signal through to your motherboard.
Yep.
So if you wanted to do your own thing, you can go ahead and do that as well. But looks really good. Again, my room has a lot of reflections, but the system does look really, really good overall. Definitely a fan of it, just the way it looks. And again, coming with seven included fans means that you don't have to buy any more, really. I mean, you could buy more for the top, you don't have to. So you're good to go out of the box. Installation is pretty easy, just a little bit over-engineered. We have our results for our testing. Pretty normal, nothing crazy. It didn't get too hot. The fans aren't too loud either. And I only gave it a 7 out of 10. I just was not the biggest fan. The controller is really hard to reach if you wanted to add anything else into it or switch things out. The fan wiring from the factory was just messy. I just would have liked to just had it cleaned up a little bit. only support for three hard drives, you know?
Yeah, out all that box. Extra room back there, you would think you could find some.
And then just like, again, all the different screws to remove different parts of the case. GPU support bracket, 6 screws. Hard drive cage, 4 screws. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? It's just just a lot. And then like that GPU support bracket, just not a fan of the design. Like, it blocks the front of your graphics card. So I didn't like it.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, price-wise, it's $187.99. Considering you get the 7 fans with the controller, I don't feel like that's a bad price, especially considering, again, this massive curved panel. And it does look good, and it's good to go out of the box. So if you can get over some of the things that I mentioned, I think it would be a great case for you. But again, like I said, some of the things were a bit cumbersome for me. So definitely something to keep in mind.
Was asking if it's a dual chamber. It's kind sort of.
Yeah, so I'll go back to the...
I mean, your power supply is separated from the rest of the interior of the case, as are your hard drives.
But. Yeah, so you have your one chamber, which is right here, right? And this is all of, like, you know, your side mount cooling, your bottom mount cooling, where your motherboard and graphics card goes right here. And then on the opposite side, you have, here's the second chamber back here. So this is where your power supply goes and your hard drives right here. And
they're separated pretty well.
Yeah, and one thing that I, if you weren't in here, old man, is that they include this little, I don't like this, kind of like it's like a little door, but it actually cuts off this section, so none of the airflow of the side mount gets lost. It just it doesn't have anywhere to go. There's no holes over here, so it actually closes that section off. So technically, it is two compartment or two chambers. They're just, again, you know, kind of typical dual chamber case for the most part. So yeah. But check out that review. Like I said, I think if you can get over some of the things, it is a good case, and there's not many, like, 7 included fans.
It's a lot.
And again, with a controller that you don't need software, you know what I mean? Like, I like it for the price. So check out that review. And then Ryan took a look at an AIO that I saw first at Computex last year, and then I saw it, what's it called? I saw it CES? Again at CES, and then it finally launched, and we finally got a chance to take a look at it. So it's the Trikes Stage.
Yeah, so we've taken a look at a couple other Trikes coolers within the last, like, 6 months or so. It was their Panorama and Panorama SE, and that's the one that has that kind of, like, curved screen, right? Kind of almost like that case that Bob just looked at, right? Same kind of design where the glass was curved on his case, the LCD on those was curved. Well, this one kind of inverts that look and gives you 2 4-inch LCDs that are next to each other, and then a stage on the lower level in between them. So we'll get to kind of what that looks like here in a minute. But this does come in just a 360 millimeter version. Black and white options available. I got the white for our test system. And again, Trikes just, like, has a great, like, unboxing experience. I know, like, some people don't care about that, right? But they do it well. They use a nice foam insert that I like. Keeps everything nice and protected in there. And of course, you're going to get all of your accessories included with this, which covers you for current AMD and Intel installations, plus a printed installation manual, which I really like, right? I don't like having to, like, get to my phone, scan a QR code. You pull it open, like,
and it's, like, hard to read on your, like,
phone. It's hard to, and then you gotta zoom in, and then you set it down and you, like, do something, and then you come back and, like, your phone's locked. So then you
Like the website's down or something.
That too. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So having this fold out is nice. I just always appreciate a manual that comes along with it. So pretty straightforward design here. Like I said, 360 millimeter design. This doesn't have, and we've had a streak for a little while, it does not have a single 360 millimeter fan. What were we calling it? A fan array, right? So this uses individual 120 millimeter fans, thankfully, from the factory.
We should do a thing on, like, performance, like you should take 3 normal fans and, like, test them on just one AIO, right? Okay. You take the arrays that you have, and then you take,
see if there's any difference.
I think that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, we could see about doing that.
But yeah, They're pre-installed though, right?
Pre-installed, correct. Okay. They're pre-installed in a push configuration, which is how we test. So everything's good there. One thing I will mention though is they are daisy chained without any cables in between, which is really nice, right? Bob just talked about the all the cables that can come with a lot of fans in a case. Yeah. This cuts down significantly for that, so you don't have to worry about it. Now, looking here, you see the radiator and the fans, the tubing and the pump housing, but there's no screen here, right? Well, just like the other or one of the other trikes AIOs and like many others, the display can come off of there, right? Makes installation easier, getting, you know, just that out of the way for screwing in the thumb screws and things like that just makes it nice and easy. So just something to look at there. Standard 27 millimeter thick radiator, although it does have a pretty like wide fin per inch count, which is 19 fins per inch, which is pretty open, right? Sometimes we get like 20 to 22, and that just gets a lot more fin density. So you got to have a fan that can push through that fin density a little better. And they've included three of their Rota SL ARGB fans that are paired up nicely with this and do a good job. So we have your standard braided lines that come off of the radiator, just crimped connections there on the end, nothing special or anything like that. And then here is that stage display, and obviously it's not installed or lit up, so it's just kind of this black cube, right? And on the left and right sides are those 4-inch LCD displays, and then you have this flat panel along the bottom, and that bottom panel can actually be taken out and flipped over, so you have a mirrored surface, so you can get a nice mirrored reflection of those two screens to get even more like depth if you wanted. If you have like some sort of abstract design, you can almost use it like a third screen because it's mirroring what's shown on the other two. But then there's also a matte stage if you want a less reflective surface.
I didn't know you could flip it.
Yes. However, this is one of the cons of this case, and I hope it's just my review sample, is it's held on with four magnets, and these little magnets are glued into the bottom of the case here. And I'll show it when we get there. Spoiler alert, magnets came out and it was a pain in the rear to get them fixed.
Get them back in.
So, yeah, I talk about that. You know, you've got a couple options there. Uses an Asetek pump design. So, you know, we have a nice history of,
if you know it, you know it.
If you know it, right? Like, uses Asetek's designs and things like that. So they've got a long history of designs. So it's not something that they did out of the house or inside the house, right? Their own design, but they've used a tried and true OEM for that. Now we've got swivel connections on the pump housing and a single 4-pin PWM connector there to power the pump on the inside. And then this is the top of that pump housing with the base or the display off. You can only orient that display in one direction. So your lines are going to come out at the bottom, and then you've got these three holes in the corners to line up the pegs that are on the screen. So you can only orient it in one way. Some AIOs allow you to mount the cooler in a certain orientation, and then you can either physically move the screen or digitally do that. Not an option here on this one. Again, that Asetek design with that mounting hardware, right? It just kind of puts on and twists on and off depending on Intel or AMD hardware. Comes with Intel installed from the factory along with some thermal paste there. But they do also include thermal paste with the cooler if you need to install it a second time. There's those fans. They are ARGB. I like them. They're just a nice standard 120 millimeter fan. Nice rubber pads at the corners to keep vibrations and noise down. They do utilize a pogo style connection for connecting up the included cable that ties into your RGB controller and power. Unfortunately, I don't like this design here. There's no keying to it. So while the magnets are strong and snap the cable into place, it can just like slide around on there and move. Yeah. And so there's potential for it to fall. You know, you put that cable on there and then you install it, or you install it and you move some cables and it tugs on this cable. You've just got potential for shenanigans, right? I wish that this was just a little more of a secure connection and a little harder to not get crooked. So something I think they could fix there. Installation is super easy though. Again, fans come mounted from the factory, so that steps out of the way. We've got our already factory applied thermal paste. Again, Asetek mounting hardware, so you just twist off the Intel, slap the AMD on, in my case, take off the standard AMD brackets, throw on some hardware, throw on some thumb screws, and you're good to go. Now, here's that connection for the ends of the fans. Now, you can use, as you see here, this is like the female connector, and I showed the female connector on the other side, but there's just pogo pins on one end of the fans that this connects to. So just something to keep in mind there. And then for the display, we just have a USB 2 breakout and SATA power to power and control that LCD that is attached to the screen. Performance wise, this did really well. Idle temperatures were top or bottom of the chart, depending on how you want to think about it, but it performed really nicely. And then same thing on load. It was kind of more mid-range on the load temperatures, but that's fine. And if you look at like across all of these, right, at low fan speeds, 500, for example, here, like you've got a 3-degree difference between all four of these coolers. Yeah. So nothing out of the ordinary, right? All of these coolers. And that's the nice thing is what these graphs will show is like, you know, people ask our recommendations sometimes. They're like, what's the best? Or like, what should I avoid? And a lot of times it's like, well, if there's one that you like the design of, as long as it's like within that range, it's going to perform fine, as it's right? Because
crazy.
And it's going to be like, my results are going to be different from yours, from someone else's, because it's in a different case. How warm do you keep your room? What CPU are you using, as long as this wasn't like an 80 degrees, right? And it's 20 degrees warmer than everything else or something like that, you're going to be fine. So that this one is just a nice performing cooler here. Same thing with noise, right? Just middle of the road as far as noise goes. So no complaints on performance there. Just really nice, reliable numbers. Does feature software, so we can use Trix's Kanali application. And that's going to be used to control those dual 4-inch displays. There's also some like monitoring you can do with this, but it's very big imagery. It's not something I would want up on the screen all the time. Like I always run Task Manager on my screen to keep track because it's got a bunch of little graphs and stuff. This is just like too big, but it's neat to have it in there. I don't mind it. You can also get some specifications on your system if you want, but then you can adjust the imagery on the screen. And while I really like that, they only provide 4 animated images out of the box. Like 4 is not enough. If you go back to their panorama, it's like 14 animated screens that they provided.
Yeah.
Like, give me more. I need more than 4. And in my testing, I couldn't get this fourth one, this like graffiti design. It wouldn't even run. It would just turn.
Wonder why that is. You would think they could just like port the other ones over.
That's the thing. Like some of them would have worked for this. Like those would have worked. Some of them wouldn't design wise look right, but yeah, they could have done that. But you can also display like CPU temperature. You can select up to 3 items to kind of overlay onto your animations. So if you want to watch your CPU temps and GPU temps on there, you can
do
that. But you can also add in your own videos or pictures, animations, things like that. So I whipped one up in Midjourney and had this little animated like Tokyo Drift style driving in the mountains display that I put on there. That was a video and through, I'll show you here in a second, but here's a look at that screen with it powered on. So you've got your left and right.
I initially thought that the bottom was another screen, which is pretty clever of them to put the mirror there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. So this is with the mirror, right? And you can obviously see that it's being reflected up. There's again with the mirror there, so you get some reflective imagery. Mirror again. And then this is it with a little car here. I've got a better shot with the car and the imagery, but you can set like, you know, an action figure or a Lego minifigure or something, whatever you want on there.
Yeah, that's like their whole idea was like you could put like little figures on there, you know, and kind of really customize like the inside of your PC kind of how.
Right, so I've got the car sitting there driving on the road and it's animated. So it looks like it's driving down the road.
Which
is pretty cool. I liked that option there. I had one with a Lego figure on there, but I didn't include it in the review. Overall, pretty happy with this cooler. I gave it an 8 out of 10. It's priced right around $210. You're getting the LCD display. You're getting ARGB fans. You're getting good performance, right? The only thing that I didn't like was the low amount of the included animations, right? I just wanted to see more. I know they can do it. They did it on their other coolers. And then I didn't include a picture, but yeah, to flip over that stage from mirror to matte, it's held in with some magnets. Those magnets came out of the base of the display and they're really strong and they do a good job holding it in place, but that made it really hard to get them back into their little holes and you'd have to glue them back in. So hopefully they get that figured out in production samples. So
yeah,
otherwise that's great. Right.
Nice. I like the idea. Cause I see so many people like put some figurines like in their system or like
sit them
on top of their GPU.
I tried to get Pathfinder.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The one
he was a little too tall. He would have hit the fans. So,
Gotcha.
Yeah. Otherwise, yeah, he would have been in there. So.
But yeah, I think with like the kind of merging of like, again, like PC enthusiasts and maybe like people again, who like figurines or stuff like that. I think this is like the perfect kind of thing, which is pretty cool. So definitely check out Ryan's review as well. And we put up a short form video on social media. If you want to check it out in action, you can kind of see how that stage works. Again, it's on our Instagram, our TikTok and all that kind of stuff as well. So yeah, definitely go ahead and check that out. We'll move on to Case Mod Friday. Of course, that's where we feature a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this week we have Aqua, and this is from Tantric Mods. And I think this one is just, I think it's just like this little accent down here. It just looks sleek. I love the colors. I love the fans in this one. What are your thoughts on this one, Ryan?
Yeah, no, it's, again, we got that like curved glass.
Yeah, curved glass on this one. This is the Asus, I think it's the AP202.
Okay.
Which again, you don't think of Asus for cases, but yeah, they have a curved panel on this one as well.
Those are Li and Li fans, right?
I believe so.
Pretty sure. Yeah, those are just so popular.
Because it's like you get like the infinity mirror on the side. Like I have them actually.
Yep, you get the infinity mirror on the sides. You get the accent.
But you get the infinity mirror in the center too, which is nice.
Yeah. It's nice and cool. I like, or nice and clean. I like the cool colors, right? The and cool being like cool temperature, right? The light blue.
Yeah. You see, like this in the side mount, they put the reservoir. Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I like that as well.
I'm surprised they didn't go with. I mean, I guess there's black accents there. I was surprised we didn't see a white radiator.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because it's like white and black with the blue. Because you have like the black here.
That's true.
Yep. And then again, like black on some other stuff, and then the fans are black, but then they're like lit up white or blue or white on the side. So yeah. I think it's just clean. It's clean, and this is like small case. Like it's not big.
Yeah. At first, I was like, "There's only two memory sticks," but is this a like a micro ATX or a?
I believe the case is micro ATX, but I believe there's some. I don't know if that's. It's hard to tell if it's. I believe it's a mini ITX case. Or not a mini ITX motherboard in there. But yeah, I think it's just a clean build. Super, super clean. So definitely a fan of that. Shout out to Tantric Mods for that one. And then, of course, just a reminder. We're giving away a motherboard. So we're giving away the ASRock Phantom Gaming B860 Lightning Wi-Fi. If you haven't got your entry in, get your entry in. There are only 7 days left. We have currently have 8,627 entries in there. And there's multiple ways to enter once you subscribe to our email newsletter. And guys, make sure you're subscribed to the email newsletter. We gave away a Fractal Design case, a really nice one. And I picked 5 winners and none of them were subscribed to the email newsletter. So so if you subscribe and then you unsubscribe when we choose the winner, you have to be, I double check with our email newsletter. So you have to be subscribed. On top of that, check your email on that same contest. I emailed like 6 winners
and nobody got back with you.
Nobody got back to me. The winner just got, and we gave this away in December. The winner just got it today because he just emailed me today. Because we had to, I had to go through and like, you know, I give people like a week to email me back. Nobody, like the first winner didn't email me back. Second winner didn't email me back. Third winner, then this person finally emailed me back. So you want to make sure you have like thinkcomputers.org white flagged or something in your email as well. Yeah. Just to like, so you get, because I want to give this stuff away to you guys. Sometimes it's hard. So make sure you're subscribed to the email newsletter. And then also, you know, we do post it on social media when we're picking the winner. So make sure you check your email, because if you don't get back to me, I can't obviously get you a prize. So, and we're going to have a handful of contests coming up as well. So stay tuned for those. But yeah, if you're looking for it on the website, guys, all you have to do is just go up to the top here, click on contests, and it's that first one right there. And then again, super easy to go ahead and enter. Rogue says he got it the same day he replied. That's some, no. He replied like a week ago and he finally got it, but it took me emailing like five different people, waiting, like, you know, waiting a week, no reply, then picking another winner, then waiting a week, no reply. And then this person finally replied about a week ago. And then I sent their shipping information over to Fractal. Fractal got them the case out, and then now they have it. So yeah, that's kind of how that worked. But yeah, it was just like a whole thing trying to get a winner. So
it's like, the meme of Fry, like, take my money, right? Like,
yeah.
Take this stuff. I'm trying to give this to you.
Yeah, like I'd like to, you know, pick a winner. So I was like, even getting to the point where it was like, nobody's emailing me back. I'm like, we're just going to give this away live on the podcast or something, you know?
yeah.
Because it's like, we want to give this stuff away, and it's like, Fractal's probably just like, was waiting for us to, you know, send the information over. So, but we will have more contests coming up. So definitely stay tuned for that. Okay. Big news. We're moving on to news, and everybody, it seems like everybody is talking about NVIDIA GTC. The big announcement was DLSS 5. And typically DLSS has been like an upscaling tech, right?
Right.
If you had like a 60 series or 50 series graphics card, and maybe you wanted to play at 1440p, it sort of, you know, would upscale the image without losing quality, right? It would render it at a lower resolution and then upscale that without losing quality. And then we got into multi-frame generation. So it generates the frames and it really allowed you to max out your frame rates in certain games. And some people were fans of that and some people weren't fans of that. I think if you wanted the performance, there's not like, unless you're like pixel peeping, right? Like you wouldn't necessarily see the difference, right? On those
two seconds. Yeah. Do you have a candle going behind you?
I do.
Or something? Okay. I just wanted to make sure there's not like, I just want to make sure there wasn't a fire, because I was seeing a reflection and okay. All right. Yeah. Carry on. Sorry.
Like the whole place goes up.
Yeah.
there's a candle.
We got a podcast to do, man.
Yeah. So with DLSS, like I said, unless you were pixel peeping, you really couldn't tell a difference. And I think for people who wanted the extra FPS, or like they got a brand new 4K monitor, but they're rocking like a 3060, but they want to play at 4K, like they could do it with DLSS, right? And again, some complaints, but not really any complaints for the people who wanted that. You know, you didn't have to turn it on, right?
Right.
With DLSS 5, I don't know, even know what you want to call this. Here's the image, right? So with DLSS 5 off, and then
it's not just an extra frame. I mean, it's reimagining the art.
Yeah. It's AI neural rendering for real-time photorealistic game visuals, right? So it's taking this, which is what the developer wanted to look like, and essentially enhancing it. And we have some more examples. This shows
how it looks good. Like, I think it looks great. The problem is, like, the artist
Go ahead.
I'm just, you know, what the artist and the studio, what they came up with is just like thrown out if you enable it, because it looks so different.
So here it is off. There it is on. So So again,
I mean, it looks good. I'm not gonna lie.
It does look good. It looks great, right? But a lot of game studios and people who worked at game studios were really pissed because, like, this is their vision of the game, right?
Correct. Yep.
This is their vision of the game, and then this is what DLSS 5 does. Again, we have another example here. Here's Hogwarts Legacy. This is without DLSS on. There's with it on again. Like, that's the difference.
That's a big,
And like, what if you're like, yes, it looks visually better, but like, what if you're not a fan of this?
Right. What if you want something more subtle? That's
yeah.
Like, you run this on WoW or something, right? WoW's this like cartoony look. I don't think.
Yeah, or like Overwatch, like same thing.
And then like, it like just changed. Yeah.
And again, like. I saw some things where like these images aren't like taken from like heavy motion. Like there's some, I saw some stuff on Twitter today or yesterday about like some screen captures from heavy motion where like it completely messes it up and stuff like that. Oh man, this like dark, moody atmosphere ruined by flooding it with
light. Yeah, especially that star.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, it's like moody back here. You can kind of see what's going on, but like, I don't even like maybe even look at the center of this image, like right here, like the suit back here, like yeah. I mean, you can see everything.
It's so lit up. Well, and their just their faces is really the one.
Yeah. So it's like, are you a fan of this?
I haven't experienced it yet. It looks good. Like it ups the. To me, the quality of it, right? Am I a fan of it in general? I don't know. I it's too new and I haven't thought about it enough, I think. It's leading us down a path of, again, and we've talked about this multiple times, like, oh, you're just going to rent this stuff and you're just going to stream it. And
but here's like Oldman says the Hogwarts character is supposed to be a teenager. Now he looks almost 30.
So yeah, that is true. Like he does look a lot older.
Yeah, here's the teenager. Yeah.
Yeah, he ages a lot.
Yeah, it ages him a lot. Wow. And we posted this meme. I'm gonna bring it up here. So it's like
I saw this one today.
It's like this is what games will look like in a couple years if you don't have DLSS on. Will this make game studios be kind of lazy?
Oh yeah, that's true.
Like this is a joke, but like, will you know if you don't have to spend the time to design these characters like in crazy detail because you know that you know DLSS 5
is just going to ramp it up again,
just going to ramp it up. Like what?
I don't know if there was a way for the studios and NVIDIA to work together to give them this ahead of time so they know what it looks like and they can make tweaks that maybe get it to where they want. Maybe this like with this Resident Evil, right? Maybe with the DLSS 5 on, like that would be their goal. But with the current state of hardware and tools available to them, they can only get to where DLSS 5 is off, right? So if they could work together to end up together at a spot where we have the image on the right, okay, maybe. But there was also pushback I saw from like Kojima Studio, right, with the Death Stranding 2 and some of the animations and stuff they were showing. It's like it looks as good as DLSS 5, and they're just running that on a console.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's like it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And again, like if studios just get lazy, right, and they're like, well, DLSS 5 will fix all of these things that we didn't do. We didn't ship, right? And that, like I said, this is one of the things that, at least in my recent memory, that there's been this much pushback from the community to NVIDIA, right? Yeah. If you went on like the NVIDIA subreddit, like it was all moderated. Sure, like they deleted everything. I've never seen like it. Just everything was just like all like deleted by moderator. Like, and like this is kind of how like where we're going, I guess. Like everything is software, you know.
like enhanced and yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to think of it. I like if you want, I guess, better visual fidelity in your game, like turn it on. But at the same time, like I can see the pushback, right? And like yes, like these images, right? Like these images look great, you know. But like how functional is it, right? Because it's AI doing this, right?
Right.
So it's like how does it mess up and like things get visually.
Well, and there could be aspects of the game where it's like it needs to be darker because that's part of the puzzle or the mood, obviously.
Like if you're playing a single player game where like again, you know, you want that kind of, you want to be, what was that game?
Wow, run it on Doom 3 and you don't have to have a flashlight mod, right? It just brightens it up and
yeah, but that's what I mean. It's like it's one of those things. It just really, like I said, it you could see it a couple different ways, but I just think that either you know game studios are gonna be mad and then or on the flip side game studios just get lazy because this fixes everything, right? Yeah. And then you also have to decide like how functional does it work? Does it really actually work in like a lot of movement, you know, like in an FPS or something like that?
Right.
And again, then do you ruin aspects of the game because it's lit up like this too, right? Like you want, you know, when you're playing, especially like even like a lot of games, you want that dark moody thing where like you kind of get scared if like an alien comes out from the darkness, right? But if you see it over there,
could this be considered a cheat also, like in FPS, like enabling this enhances things that you typically wouldn't see, right? You know, we've seen where people turn graphics all the way down or do things where foliage disappears and you're just like you're laying down prone thinking you're covered up by grass, but you're wide open. Well, with this, maybe the character that's, you know, 100 yards away is more visible now because
there's like a lot of implications of this. So we'll see what happens. Obviously Nvidia is always trying to have that value add to having an Nvidia graphics card, right? And this is just the continuation of that. We'll see what happens and we'll see the pushback from game studios as well as gamers in general. And yeah, we'll see. And you know, testing this, we'll see more come out over the next year. So yeah, should be interesting to see, nonetheless, for sure. So yeah, that's the big Nvidia news. We also officially have Intel refresh on the laptop side, Core Ultra 200 HX Plus. I honestly don't know what's going on. Like, it's still too long of a product name. Like, I'm just not a fan. Like, you have Core Ultra 200 HX and then Plus.
Yeah. Like, why is it got to be a Plus? It's already an Ultra. Right? Like,
and that Plus is a refresh, I guess. But, like, okay, I get it. Like, yeah, it's just too long of a name. But the new processors on the mobile side, as far as like the top ones, is going to be the Intel Core Ultra 9 290 HX Plus. And the Core Ultra 7 270HX Plus, 8% faster in gaming, 7% faster single thread performance compared to the previous generation. Native support for Wi-Fi 7, Bluetooth 5.4, and Thunderbolt 5. Bunch of brands announced new laptops with these in them. So this is like the new 2026 laptops will feature these processors. Yeah, I mean, it's just a simple refresh. There's not much to it, to be honest. But if you're looking to get a new laptop, I'd maybe wait a little bit till these new ones are available. It's just going to make more sense. I did see a lot of brands dropping the prices of like their 2025 model. But so if you,
that's nice.
You know, if you we're looking at picking up a laptop like today or something like that, you can find a pretty good deal. But that is the Intel refresh on the mobile side. Now on the desktop side, we do have a leak for Ryzen. So Ryzen 9000 sort of refresh. This is going to be a Ryzen 7 9750X and a Ryzen 5 9650X. Higher clocks and TDPs here. So if we look at this, again, the Ryzen 7 9750X will be 8-core, 16-thread. We'll have a base clock of 4.2 gigahertz, but it's going to boost up to 5.6 gigahertz, 120 watts TDP on that one. And then the Ryzen 5 9650X, 6-core, 12-thread, 4.3 gigahertz will boost up to 5.5 gigahertz, 120 watt on that one as well. So these are a lot higher TDPs on these.
Yeah.
Compared to the Ryzen 7 9700X and the Ryzen 5 9600X, which are both 65 watt parts. Pretty interesting. It's just a leak right now, so we'll see more information as it comes out. But I like a refresh on the Ryzen side of things as far as the kind of more the middle lane Ryzen 7, Ryzen 5 processors. So I definitely like that.
We're going to get to that 6 gigahertz.
They had 6 gigahertz a long time ago.
I know.
You know, well, what processor was that? I forget.
It'll be more common, I guess I should say. Yeah. We're going to get more CPUs at it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I'm sure you guys know, and we're not talking about it that much this episode, but the RAM shortage is still going strong. And with that, ASRock came out with a motherboard that supports DDR4 and DDR5.
Okay.
This is their H610M Combo 2. And it has a single DDR4 slot and two DDR5 slots. So if you got some old DDR4, you can throw this in until you can afford DDR5 to put in there, a single stick. This is just kind of interesting.
This is like a placeholder motherboard. Like, this thing is bare bones.
Yeah, I mean, it's an H610. You know, it's a very entry-level board and everything like that. But again, if you're, you know, building some systems for, you know, low-end stuff, and you have some DDR4 laying around, this would save you, especially right now, a lot of money putting DDR4 in here instead of DDR5. So kind of interesting. You know, having three, you know, and instead of having two, you have three slots, you know, which is actually really, really funny. But yeah, pretty interesting there from ASRock. And then Thermaltake, their TR200 series is now available. I got to see these in person as well. And this is a micro ATX. So that's up Ryan's alley, because he's been wanting to build a micro ATX system. And this is sort of like that. What do you call this? Like a, I don't know, like mini tower kind of design. You know, and this is it's basically a bigger version of their TR100, right. which we reviewed. Supports a larger screen in the top, which is an add-on. It doesn't come with it. And you have cooling in the front, and then, of course, we'll take a look inside. Cooling in the back, and then micro ATX board goes here. You have your storage back there. Power supply gets mounted in the front of the case to keep that kind of size and the width down. And then they have a couple different options. Like, you have the black, you have the white, you have the black, which I showed you up here, you have the normal black, but then you have a white and a black version that has the Fractal Design North Wood on it. I don't like the black. I think the white looks better with the lighter wood. I don't like the black. Which one do you like?
Yeah, I agree. But I don't think either one is a good combination. I think like the black would go good with like some black stained wood or some gray, right? Like, you could get a better color than that red. I don't like that cherry color.
Yeah.
And then on the white one, we've seen that before where you get the white with the light colored wood. It doesn't look right on this. I don't know why.
Is it because this wood doesn't go all the way to the top?
Maybe.
Yeah. But in any case, these are available now if you want to take a look for micro ATX. And yeah, like I said, they look pretty solid when I saw them. So nice to see this product line get expanded.
Yeah. Before you go, we had a question.
Can the ID Cooling SL360 CP cooler with display fits Intel AMD go with ASUS Z790. Yeah. I mean, it's a 360 millimeter AIO.
Yeah, and it is compatible. That Z790 is LGA 1700, and the ID Cooling SL360 is fully compatible with that socket. Nice. So you should be good to go.
Yeah, should be good to go. So glad we could answer that one. Or thanks, Ryan, for pulling it up because I didn't see it. Moving on to keyboards. And I know Ryan's a Corsair. Are you still rocking your Corsair keyboard right now?
I am.
Yeah, Ryan's like a long time. I use the same Corsair keyboard forever. Person. And I know you liked the one of the low profile. You use a low profile keyboard at work.
Correct. Yeah, I have a Cherry low profile.
So Corsair has their Vanguard Air 99 wireless.
Yeah.
Low profile, full number pad over here, which Ryan likes. You have your macro keys on the side here, a little screen. Optical switches, 8,000 hertz pulling rate, 18 millimeters thick, so really low profile.
Make it a TKL size and all right. I mean, I like the full size for work, but right, you're correct. I do like the numpad, need it at work. You make a TKL version of this and I might use it on my desk here.
Nice.
I haven't really gamed a whole lot though with a low profile.
Yeah, I'm not a fan,
you know,
for gaming. I think you have to get used to it. You know what I mean? It's just because of their low profile, and it looks like low profile keycaps, they're not concave enough for like you will get, I call it like stick drift, but you will get like finger drift and like you'll slide off to the other key. That's what I've experienced with low profile keycaps. And again, most low profile keycaps do not, like, they're not concave enough, you know, where like your finger sits in it, if that makes sense, in my experience. But in any case, what do you have pricing on this thing? Oh, $259.99.
Wow.
Got that Corsair tax on there. Looks nice though, gotta say.
It does.
So yeah, but it is, again, 8,000 hertz pulling rate, optical switches, meaning that you can set your actuation point for each individual switch, and you can do a lot of the cool things like snap tap and all that kind of stuff really easily with this. So yeah, that is pretty cool. Now, Glorious was one of the first lightweight gaming mice that I ever take a look at. Their Model O. It was like one of the first ones, and it was got me into, you know, lightweight gaming mice. They're bringing it back because they've had other ones that have come out. So they have a new Model O Classic, but it just got an upgraded sensor. Still, I believe 68 grams, which again, right now is on the high side, but this is like, again, kind of like an ode to the Classic, and it still has the cutouts, which again, a lot of the newer ones don't because they found more lightweight materials, but this one's still going to have, you know, those cutouts right there and everything like that. Bringing back the Classic. And again, 2019 doesn't seem like that much of a classic.
It does look like it just looks like an older mouse, like a 2015
I mean, this
it's like they haven't changed that much, but it does. It has that, I don't know. You can kind of date this mouse.
Gotcha. Yeah, but in any case, if you love the Model O and you were like, oh, I wish I could just get
that were good.
One. Yeah, you can get this one now. $89.99 has a new 16K or 19K optical sensor on there. So yeah, that is now available. And then we'll move on to an interesting thing. So, you know, like Chromebooks, typically to get like Chrome OS, you need like, you have to buy a Chromebook, right? Yep. Now, Google has teamed up with a company called Backmarket, and they're coming out with I believe this is a $3 flash drive that has Chrome OS on it. So if you had an older system, you can essentially put Chrome OS on it and make it, you know, with like older tech and stuff like that, just make it usable, right? What do you think of this?
I've used OS Flex, Chrome OS Flex. I have an older laptop that was an extra that I ran it on there. It's fine. It's neat. It's exactly like, it's a perfect case for using these machines that, you know, have rolled off their Windows 10, but they can't run 11 because of whatever reason, right? Mm-hmm. Throw this USB in there, boot off of it, run your Chrome OS. And if you're someone that's just like an online person that checks their email, surfs the web, and doesn't need to play games, you know, or anything like that, yeah, this is great.
Yeah, I think this is pretty cool. And just like making it more available and easy for people, right? It's a flash drive.
Yeah, because right now it's like, or previously, you had to go grab the ISO and turn it into a bootable.
He was like, put it on a bootable USB. What's an ISO, dude?
What?
I got to mount an ISO. What is this? You know, this flash drive just makes it easy.
What was that app that you used to be able to mount ISOs via software? What was that called?
I used it in the past. I forget. I don't remember.
For legitimate reasons only.
Yeah. Right. Sure. But yeah, this is just nice. And it's like I said, I like the ability, and especially with what happened with Windows 11, again, like the requirements in certain older systems, which again are fine, right? Like those systems were fine, but they can't be upgraded to Windows 11. Having the Chrome OS Flex. And again, if you're just like an internet person, just makes sense. I definitely like that as well. Definitely nice. So pretty cool. And like I said, I believe they're $3. So basically the cost of the drive.
I mean, that's like the cheapest US promo USB shown there. Like,
yeah, I don't know how many gigs this is. Said like, it's probably, I don't even know, maybe a gig or 8 gigs or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty cool there. And then we talked about it last week, how the state of New York is suing Valve. And my thought was, there's a lot of money. Like, you could use this, the resources could be used elsewhere. Like, we've heard this thing with games, one, how games are violent, but on top of that, like the loot boxes and everything like that. So Valve put out a whole statement about it, and for some reason it's not loading. Maybe because the state of New York's after us. But now it's finally loaded. So here it goes. So Valve put out this big statement, which we have here. Basically, you know, saying that the state of New York is crazy and all of that. You know, and they said they're in full they're cooperating with the state of New York in their investigation and everything like that. And then again, like, Valve doesn't own any of the gambling websites that, you know, for Counter-Strike items, right, and things like that. So yeah, I feel like this is just a waste of time and money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree. Yeah, especially when we talked last week, they compare it to like trading cards and opening packs of cards that you buy anywhere, right? It's a gamble. Like, there's no guarantee of what's in there. Sure, it is an assortment of cards of, you know, X number of commons, uncommons, and rares or whatever, right? But any of those cards could be anything. Same thing when you open up one of these loot boxes. It's really not any different. And they say they're like targeting kids, or it's really a parenting issue, in my opinion. Like, if you're giving your children unfettered access to be able to purchase these,
isn't Counter-Strike like
the old
18 plus?
Right. That's again, right? You're breaking the EULA of the game, right? Or, you know, maybe not. But you've provided them a payment option, which is most likely a credit card or maybe PayPal, right? Depending on what you got. Yeah. But like, all these things, you as the parent might be circumventing these legal restrictions that are there for a reason. And now Valve's got to fight it because.
Yeah. I heard the thing that they're going after Valve because Gabe is like a billionaire now or something like that.
Gabe's got another yacht.
Yeah, or something. I don't know. But in any case, waste of money, in my opinion. And I think that it's just, I don't know. But in any case, that wraps up our news for the week. Coming next week, we have two MSI products. So Ryan's taking a look at another MSI AIO. It is their Mag Core Liquid A13360. Do you have the white or the black?
The white, right? Yeah. Sorry, I have two. No, I have the black of that. Yeah. Nice. Sorry, I have a pile of AIOs. And
so. Yeah. This one, no screen, which I think for like a lot of people, they just want like, they don't care, right?
Or, yeah. And I get that. Like, do you look over at it like during gameplay or something? No. Like, I don't. But it's like, cool also, to like see it.
Yeah.
And customize your system.
Also, there's like a money savings with
absolutely
not using the that. So Ryan will be taking a look at that. And then we should call it MSI Week. I'm taking a look at an MSI motherboard. This is their MPG B850 Edge TI Wi-Fi. And this is a white, this thing looks sleek. It really, really does look sleek. Of course, Ryzen, motherboard here, and yeah, lots of features on this one. And it, like I said, it looks awesome. Just cause it's all white and everything like that. So yeah, I'll be taking a look at that.
Going back to it, right. We just talked about the AIO without a display. Right. And I didn't mention this when I was talking about my review, but that, Trike's, cooler, the screen, it has its own dual core processor, so it's taking care of all of those animations and display info, so it's not a resource strain on your machine, right? That's another advantage of coolers without those, is if you don't have to worry about what the screen is showing, that's less resources your machine is using for that function. So another piece there.
Nice. We didn't have a question of the week, so I think like the DLSS5
Yeah, that was a good discussion there.
Yeah, good discussion on that. Is there anything else tech related that you wanted to talk about?
I don't think tech related, although my son is like been a fiend for this new game he found. He's playing it right now, so it's what made me think of it. He's playing Jurassic World Evolution 3. So this is, to me, I've watched him play it a little bit, and it's like The Sims or kind of one of those types of games, but you're Roller Coaster Tycoon, but you're building your own Jurassic Park, right?
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And you gotta, you know, make sure you got power, and you hire scientists, and they have to. Yeah, it came out pretty recently.
Yeah,
and I tell you what, it's got good, like very positive reviews.
Yeah,
it looks amazing, and it's running on his, you know, like a 2600X and a 2070 Super, my old 2070 Super. Dude, this game looks great. Plays smooth.
Nice.
It's really neat. Yeah, I've been really impressed, like just watching him.
It's expensive. It is.
It's a top tier game.
Yeah, very positive reviews here on Steam. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, it's good because you can like, you know, you zoom way in and like you just keep zooming in and like it just gets more detailed and detailed.
Yeah, that's how what's that game?
City Skylines.
That's how City Skylines were. And I would like, dude, it would like blow up my computer back in the day. And I had like a high end desktop, like Intel system with like, you know, awesome graphics card, and it would like tax my system like crazy. Yeah.
No, I read this. But it's cool. Yeah, so he's been playing that. He's playing it right now, it looks like.
Nice.
But he's on spring break, so like the other day, I mean, Monday, I came home from work, and apparently he had been in his room like most of the day just building.
That's how like SimCity used to be, or like Roller Coaster Tycoon. You would like build the biggest like city and you'd be so proud of it. Like I feel like strategy games kind of got lost in the mix, you know? Because we have these battle royales and things like that. Old Man said Crimson Desert. I saw something on that.
Who is it? This is Jeff Kaplan's game, right? He was on Lex Friedman. I need to watch that, the part about the WoW, because
I
was interested in the history of that.
Hold on. I got to put my age into Steam because I'm not signed in.
Jeez,
gotta go scroll back to 84, man. I'm old.
I know, that is one thing where you're like, you used to be able to like scroll a little to get your age, and now you're like one mouse wheel, two mouse wheels.
Yeah, they said they had really good pre-orders on this.
Okay,
that's what I saw an article about that. Open world action adventure.
Yeah, no thanks.
Then I saw this meme about open world action games. I don't know if it was about this game, but I saw it like on X or something. And the person's like, yeah, like, you know, I used to be the biggest fan of like open world games, but this like, now I just kind of want to play through something. Like, I don't want 100 side quests. Like, I don't want any of that. I just kind of want to just like have a nice playthrough of a game. He's like, I'm too old. He's like, I have kids. You know, this guy was like, I have kids. And like, I just want to, you know, a simple game. Like, I don't want a million side quests. But yeah, this looks good. Like, I haven't been following that many games that much. I mean, we basically play Apex. And like, I've been so busy with like reviews. I, you know, like the only time I really play is on Wednesdays. So, but yeah.
Yeah, I've been on this 7 Days to Die kick lately, so I've been playing that, and
nice.
I haven't played Battlefield in a while. I haven't played Marvel Rivals in I don't know how long, which makes me sad because I love that game.
You just get busy, man.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, just exactly.
Yeah, and I'm sure like with you know, coming up to summer, the kids are gonna get busy with stuff, and like you're gonna be even more busy.
Soccer's in full swing now. Yeah, that's why we started late tonight.
Yeah, and then Old Man said Ubisoft ruined open world games for a lot of people. It's all copy and paste. And yeah, especially with like the AI stuff that's going on now too, you're kind of like
Well, they did have like, so they had like Ghost Recon, like Wildlands, and they had Division, and
I like it.
Division's great. It's fun.
We played Division for a while too. I really like it. I mean, I did. Well, you did more than me.
Yeah.
I mean, I like
Division 2.
Yeah, I like Division. But yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with all of that. But we are going to be gaming. Of course, it's Wednesday, so we do have a gaming stream over here over on Twitch. Ryan runs that stream, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We'll be over there playing some Apex Legends, it seems. That's kind of what we're going to be doing. So. I'll be jumping over there. So if you want to continue to hang out with us, we will be over there. Thanks, everybody who was in the live stream. Of course, we have Old Man. We had Kaya. We had Rogue Gamer One. We had Nolan. We had Joe in here as well. So a bunch of people in the live chat. And of course, we appreciate everybody that listens later as well. And we will see everybody next week.